Okay. So this morning, the enemy was doing a real snow job on me. Only thing I didn't realize at the time, you know. I knew Pastor said that I was teaching on angels, and I thought I knew when I was supposed to be teaching. But for some strange reason, I got in church this morning, and all of a sudden, I'm bombarded with thoughts that I'm teaching this morning, and I'm telling you, I'm panicking, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, because I'm not, my lesson isn't prepared. I mean, I'm not psyched up mentally, and I'm like, no, it can't be this morning. So I'm sitting in the back there, and I'm straining my eyes, you know, trying to see if Pastor is hooked up. And it looked like he was, then it looked like he wasn't. Then, I mean, so I couldn't really tell, you know. So when the praise and worship team was, you know, leaving, I thought, well, I'll ask Pastor Sharon. I'm telling it because they're not here to hear this. So don't nobody tell them. Right? But then I thought, man, she's going to think you're real stupid if you ask her. So, and I didn't ask her, so she passed. And I mean, my stomach is in knots because I'm trying to decide, am I teaching? No, it's the night. No, it's this morning. It's the night. I'm going back and forth. And eventually, I couldn't stand it anymore. So I grabbed, I think it's either Ish or Jeff. I don't know which one. I mean, I was just a nervous wreck. And I asked them, who's teaching this morning? And they said, Pastor Rock. And I was like, but then here came that voice again. No, it's you. You know it's you. And I'm telling you, I did not get any peace until he got up there and actually said what he was teaching on. The whole time, my whole stomach was in knots. You know, I mean, I was a wreck, but thank God. I'm here this morning, tonight. I'm still nervous. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are, a great and mighty God, and an awesome God, a miracle-working God, a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, a God who is able to break every chain, not just the ones that we see, but the ones that we can see. Thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus is powerful, and you are able to deliver us and set us free, Lord, from every bondage, from every captivity. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is here. We ask, oh God, that you will, oh God, just open the hearts of your people so that they would receive, Lord. And give me, Lord, utterance to deliver it as I ought to. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm continuing our lesson on angels. And as I was, you know, pondering what direction to go with this lesson, because, you know, it's one thing to have something in your head. It's quite a different thing to put it together on paper. So I was just thinking, you know, what direction to go. And then I suddenly remembered a song that I used to sing in Sunday school. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But it goes, the words, these are the words. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white robed angels tell the story. A sinner has come home. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I mean, it just came to me. You know, the last time I sung that song, I was probably a teenager. You know, and we don't sing songs like that today. So I took it, you know, that was the Holy Spirit telling me what direction to go. So my lesson is angels, heaven's observers. And I did a search in the scriptures, and I came up with Luke 15, verse 10, where Jesus is talking about the angels rejoicing over us. Luke 15, 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. There is joy in the presence of the angels. When we're down here, we're in church or wherever we are, and we lead somebody to Jesus, we're not the only one who's happy. Heaven is. The angels are excited. They rejoice. Jesus said that there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents, who turns from their wicked ways and turns to the Lord. I remember the night I got saved. It was a Sunday night, and I know I told it again before, but you all are going to listen to it again. I didn't even want to go to church. You know, I wanted to stay home and listen to this program we had called the Golden Oldies. But my mother would not let me stay home, and she grabbed this big oak stick that my father had. And so I darted, down the stairs and through the yard, but I was mad because I wanted to listen to the Golden Oldies. So I went to church, in a very rebellious spirit, and I sat in the back pew. I never sat in the back. I always sat in the second pew from the front with my friend Desiree. She was the pastor's daughter. But there was a house next door, and there was a window in the church that was open. So I went and I sat there, and so I was listening to the Golden Oldies, and then I was tapping my feet to the thing. And though I don't know what the pastor said, what he taught, because, I didn't hear a word. But then Golden Oldies came to an end, and country and western came on. Not my cup of tea. I did not like no country and western. So I decided to move up to the front. So I moved up to the second pew, and I sat by Desiree, and that's where the Holy Ghost got me. I came under so much conviction, and the pastor was giving an altar call. And the Holy Spirit just convicted me, and he kept telling me, it's time, this is your time. I just kept hearing, this is your time, it's now. And to make a long story short, I got saved. Went in rebellious as ever, came out saved. God has got a sense of humor. But that night when I got saved, I didn't think about it until I was preparing this lesson. The angels were rejoicing. Yay, Jem got saved, we got one. Because, I was a tough cookie. My pastor and his wife, they prayed for me for about 6 years. Because I had no intentions of getting saved, and I did. Because it was a holiness church with a whole bunch of rules. And when you're 15 and 16, you don't want to live by these rules that they had. And I thought, I'm too young. I've got plenty of time, and the number was 52. I told myself, when I got about 52, you're old. And that you're getting ready to go to eternity, so yes, you should be thinking about God then. I don't know. That was the devil's telling me that. But that's what he tells a lot of people today. You've got time, plenty of time. But the Holy Spirit won that night, and I got saved. And the angels rejoiced, and they wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I wonder what ink they wrote it in. gem, precious stone. Maybe it's some gold ink or something. But anyway, as I thought about it, it made me feel really special that the angels were rejoicing when I got saved. Yeah. And when each and every single one of you got saved, they did the same thing.
Yeah.
They rejoice. Angels rejoice. Getting saved is a big deal in heaven.
Yeah.
God is happy when his children come home. The Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Hebrews 12:1, he said, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin, every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, I've read this scripture over and over again, and I never stop to think, who are these witnesses? You really don't think about a lot of stuff until you have to teach it. And, you know, Paul said that we are compassed, we're, you know, about with a great cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? I believe, you know, who are some of the witnesses? I believe they're angels. And why do I say that? Psalms 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Now, how can the angels hearken or hear if they're not privy to the word? They have to know it. They know the word. Angels know what the word of God says. They know what his commandments are, and they respond to it. They're witnesses of God's word. Now, when I had you know, when before my kids were born, each and every single one of them, I dedicated to them while I was still carrying them. And then after they were born, me and my husband, we went and we dedicated to them. And then as they grew up, and you know, when kids, you know, they're babies, they're cute and nice, and then they become teenagers. And then you wonder, who are these kids? You know, where did they come from? And I remember my youngest one, was, you know, I don't know what was going on with him, but I think it was just the enemy trying to steal my joy and was working through him. But I remember I said to the Lord one day, I said, "Lord, heaven is witness when that I gave this child, not just once, but twice to you. Heaven witnessed this when I went and I gave him, me and my husband." So I said, "Lord, he's yours. You better take over." You know, heaven witnesses what we do. You know, the angels, they're watching, they're observing, they're seeing. And they know the word of God, they know what his commandments are, and they hearken and to his word, they hearken to his commandments. And I think I said it the last time I taught, that's why it is so very important what we confess, what we allow to come out of our mouth. Because the Bible says that we shall have what we say. And if we say things that are contrary to the word, you know, that's what we're going to have. The angels can't help us then. You know, it's if we try to give them charge to go and do something that's contrary to what God's word says, guess what? Nothing doing. Because they hearken to the voice of his word. They hearken to his commandments, okay? They know, they're observers, they're listening, they're watching, they're taking note. I think it was Charles Camp who said that, you know, we can tie the hands of our angels based on what we say. But when we speak God's word, then they can comply with it. But when, you know, we say negative things, when we say things that are contrary, you know, to what God's word says. For example, he says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So that means that God wants us to prosper. But when we say things like, "Oh, I'll never be prosperous. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm always going to be in debt until I die." You see, that's not what the word says. It says in the book of John, I think it is 3 John 2. Maybe I've got it mixed up. I get my numbers mixed up. But he says, "Beloved," Paul says, John says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That's what the word says. He wish above all things that we prosper, so he wants us to prosper, and be in health, so he wants us to be healthy. Yes. But if we say, "Oh, well, you know, I came from a family that was sickly. It's a generational thing, so I'm always going to be sickly." Is that what the word says?
No.
Do you think the angels can help us then?
No,
because that's not what the word says. They hearken to the voice of his word. So we have to be careful what we speak if we want our angels to get busy working on our behalf. Angels get to hear Jesus call out the names of those who are saved. They hear our names. They hear the names of all those who belong to him. Luke 12:8-9. This is Jesus again. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. What does that mean? It simply means that if we are ashamed to be called a Christian, if we're ashamed, to let, you know, the world know who we are, we don't take a stand for righteousness. We just kind of blend in the crowd, go along with things. You know, we're Nicodemus. He came to Jesus secretly at night because he didn't want to upset, you know, the powers that be then, the scribes and the Pharisees. He was a secret, you know, he was a secret follower. We can't be secret about who we are. Because if we are and we are ashamed of him, he said he'll deny us. When we stand in eternity, we stand before him and his holy angels, he'll say, I don't know who you are. Never heard of you. You know, when that was another ploy that enemy pulled on me too when I just got saved. And I'm quite sure he did it to everyone else because he really doesn't have any new tricks. It's the same old bag of things he uses over and over again. But I was a new Christian, had just gotten saved. And I started hearing this voice talking to me, how do you know you're saved? You're not really saved, you know. You're not really saved. And the thing bothered me. And I remembered, I prayed and I said, Lord, I need to know if I'm really saved or not, because I cannot live the rest of my life. And then when I stand before you in eternity, I hear these words, because I think the pastor or used to preach it quite a lot, you know, that there are going to be those who are going to stand before God and he's going to say, I never knew you, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire. I was like, Lord, I don't want that to be me, you know, so I need to know now. Am I saved or am I not saved? I mean, it's a terrible thing to live all your life and at the end of life's journey, then you find out that you're not really saved. You don't belong to God, you know? And so the Lord did, you know, confirm that. I'm not going to go into how he did, but he did. And after once God did, Satan never bothered me again with that. You know, he does this all the time. So if there's somebody here and he's you know, pulling this trick on you, talking to you, telling you you're not really saved, you're going to go to hell when you die, you know, and all this stuff, don't listen to him. Or, you know, then just give your heart to Jesus right there and then. That ought to shut him up once and for all. You know, if there's any uncertainty, you can always do it again. God isn't going to say, you know, you have little faith. No, you know, because he wants us to be sure, okay? And so we cannot be ashamed of who we are as Christians, because Jesus is going to confess us. He's going to call our names. Angels get to hear it. Can you imagine? Picture it. It's payday. And we're all standing there. And he's got his book. And he's going down the list. One, Judy, Mary, Tanya, Dean's parents. No, Bunny. I'm just picking on you, Bunny. I mean, can you imagine what, you know, he's going down the B's or the V's and, you know, and her name is not there. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't even imagine that. It's terrible. That's the worst thing that could happen to a person. You know, not to hear your name, not to hear Jesus call your name, you know? And so it's an honor to have the angels hear our name. It's a call, roll call. He calls our name. He said he'll confess us before his angels. But if we, if you know, if we're ashamed of him, then he'll be ashamed of us. And we wouldn't hear our names. Instead, we'll hear, "Depart from me," Matthew 7:23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I pray that if nobody in here right now would ever hear those words. Those are horrible words. Oh my God, I think it would have been better for me, for us not to have been born, than to hear, "Depart from me." So God is going to confess us before his angels. We get to hear him call our names. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, we have to confess with our mouth. And we believe in our heart. We can't be secret Christians. We have to be bold enough to acknowledge Jesus. You know, when God put him on exhibition for us, and he did, it wasn't done secretly. It was done openly.
Yeah.
All the people back in that time, they saw him hanging there on the cross, beaten to a bloody pulp, didn't even look like himself, practically naked on that cross. He hung there in the open for everybody to see. So the least we can do is acknowledge him.
Yes.
Don't you think so? When he was in the Mount of Olives, he prayed in Luke 22:42-43, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. An angel, witness, he was a witness and an observer to what Jesus suffered. They minister to us.
Yes.
The angels strengthen him by giving him the ability physically and emotionally to finish the work that he began. Can you imagine the stress, you know, that Jesus bore? Not just, you know, as it became apparent to him what he was going to have to suffer. You know, the Bible said that he sweat drops of blood. Think about all the people who had lived and died before Jesus came. And then think about all the people in the whole world who was alive then. And after then, all the people who was going to be born, including us. He was getting ready to pay for everybody's sin. That's a tremendous burden. No wonder he sweat drops of blood. You know, and the angel ministered to him. The angel strengthened him. The angel gave him the strength that he needed to finish the task that he came to earth to accomplish. Have you ever been so burdened by something or so heavy-hearted that you didn't think you could make it another day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we've all been there. And I told this story before, but it's an angel story, so I'm going to tell it again. In 1987, I'm standing by my mom's bedside in Guyana. She's in a coma. And the day before, I was so burdened and so heavy-hearted because, you know, my mom had developed another bed sore, right on her tailbone. And it was like I was feeling this thing. And because she was in a coma, she couldn't tell me if she was hurting. But, I was thinking, this has got to be hurting her. And so I would go home, and I would get nightmares about it. I would literally dream that I'm the one in pain. You know, it was on me so heavy. And so this particular night I was walking down this road. I just needed to walk because I wanted to talk to the Lord. And I remember I was saying, "Lord, I am so tired. I mean, I was in a really, really hard place. And I said, Lord, I give up. I can't take this no more. I give up. I give up. And I just kept saying it over and over and over and over. I give up. I said, Lord, I'm done. I quit. I just cannot handle this. I felt like the whole weight of the situation was on my shoulders. And there were some family issues, so I couldn't talk, you know, to family. You know how that goes. And so the next day, I'm at the hospital, and I happened to turn, and this man came in. And it was kind of strange how he came in, because he came in, but yet it looked like he just appeared. Does that make sense? it looked like he walked in, but yet it was like he just, you know, just manifested out of thin air. And he's holding a hat, and he came and he said hello, and I said hello, and I'm looking at him, and he was smiling at me, and she started talking to me, and he was telling me basically everything that I was saying the night before. And he kept saying, don't give up. Don't give up. It's going to be okay. God will going to give you the strength and union. He just kept going on. And I'm looking at him, and inside something is, I'm trying to figure out, who is this man? You know, I feel like I know him, but yet where did he come from? I didn't ask his name. He didn't tell me his name. Isn't that strange? But he just talked, and then he turned and he said, I'm leaving. And I watched him walk out the door and turn to go down the hall. It was a very long hallway. So instinctively, I went behind him. I wanted to see where he was going. And the guy was nowhere in sight. I looked in every cubicle, and he was nowhere in sight. And I mean, there is no way possibly that he could just run down that long hallway, you know. Well, fast forward. This was in 1987. Let me see. Anyway, I'm here at this church, and Pastor must have talked. I think he talked about angels, or he said something in his message about angels. And so later that week, I'm meditating what he said, and as I walked down my hallway, all of a sudden it hit me. That man that I saw by my mom's hospital bed was the same person that I saw when I was a little girl. And, you know, my mom got me up about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. That was potty time. She would get me up and sit me on the potty. And I was sitting there, and there was a man standing behind her wearing a hat, a brown felt hat with a band. And I remember saying to her, man, look, man, man. And she kept looking, and she couldn't say, what are you talking about, the man, man? You know, she couldn't see him. Well, the man that I saw in my mom's hospital bed was the exact same man. Had a hat, only this time he wasn't wearing it, he was holding it in his hand, the same light brown felt hat with a band. Looked exactly the same way like he looked when I saw him when I was about 5 years old. And I knew. That's why I was trying, you know, this thing inside of me, I felt, you know, you're Noah, like I know him, you know. He was an angel, and God sent him to minister to me because I was so burdened. Let me tell you, I never knew that, you know, that kind of burden existed. It was a really hard time for me. So angels minister to us. They strengthen us. They help us. You know, after I had that talk with him, or he had the talk with me, because he was doing 99% of the talking, you know, I felt stronger. I felt encouraged. I felt like I can do this. Somehow, things didn't look as bleak as they did, you know, when I was talking to the Lord the night before. So, you know, angels, they minister to us, just like they came and they ministered to Jesus. They're here. And they minister to us. They know when we're hurting, and Jesus will send them to help us. And so, you know, we cannot be ashamed to acknowledge him, because we do not want him to be ashamed to acknowledge us. Amen. All right? Okay, another crucial time that angel ministered to Christ was in the desert, Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, that's Satan, he's a tempter, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Satan knows the word. He knows what God's word says. He just twists it a lot of times. No, like he did to Eve. You know, he twists the word and said, "You shall not surely die, because God knows in the day that you eat, you'll be like him." You know, and she didn't know that she was already a god, a small god. But they had everything that they needed right then. And she went and she ate, and then she had to give it to Adam. And of course, you know, he went right along. And we all know the story. Man just failed. Okay, so Satan, he uses the word. He'll come and use God's word at you, but he'll twist it. So now here he's saying, you know, it is written, they'll bear thee up in their hands. And Jesus said, again, it is written, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. They're ministering spirits. They minister to us, you know, when we're at our weakest, when we think we can't go another day, when we think I may as well just give up. They're all around us. They're heaven's observers. They're God's gift to us to help and encourage us when we're in trouble. Now, I've been reading this book, Guardian Angels, How to Activate Their Ministry in Your Life by Dr. Roy Hicks, and I want to read an angel story. A lady missionary was traveling in a communistic country, one that suppressed religious freedom. She, following God's word to her, found herself in a small town. She did not know where to go and ended up in a small, dark, dimly lit building. A nicely dressed man walked up to her and said, "You're in the wrong place, aren't you?" She answered and said, "Yes, I believe I am." He told her to follow him, and he led her to a larger building off the beaten path. As they entered and their eyes became accustomed to the dark, she saw over 300 Christian believers gathered there. They said to her, "God told us to come here today and that he would send someone from America to speak to us." The lady missionary could not speak their language, but the man could, and he interpreted for her. There is not the slightest doubt that the man was an angel and knew where God had told them to come, because in that nation you cannot advertise your meeting place. See, she was in a strange place. She didn't speak the language, on the wrong side of town, and God sent an angel to lead her to the right place. I have a similar story. Back, I got a lot of Guyana stories. I'm going home, you know, after a long day at the hospital, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. I'm finally on my way home after waiting on the bus for like over 2 hours. I don't know what was going on, but I mean, I was tired. I sat in the bus took off, and just when we're getting comfortable, the bus breaks down. So now everybody have to get out and walk. Now I'm, you know, this part where my brother lived, it's new to me. I didn't grow up there, you know, don't know the people or anything. And so I'm following the crowd, and I'm thinking in my head, you know, they all must be going the same place, so I'm following them. But then we came to a fork in the road where you could either go straight, keep going straight, or you can turn. And half of the people went this way, and the other half kept going straight, and I didn't know which way to go. It's dark, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I am tired, I'm not thinking straight. So I'm in a split second, I'm deciding, okay, which should I go straight or should I follow them? And as I was about to follow the group that went this way, this man, very tall, good looking man, came up and said, oh, I live right up the street from your brother. Instantly I knew, okay, I need to follow him because he lived right up the street from my brother, and I did. I followed him, and we talked along the way. Can't remember what we talked about. But you know, when I got to my brother's house to turn in to go home, I don't know where that man went. I never saw him before in my entire life. This is something that I'd completely forgotten about. You know, and as I was preparing this lesson for tonight, and when I read this story that I just read to you from the book, I remembered it. And I will bet anybody's paycheck, he was an angel. Yeah. Because at the exact moment that I was about to make a wrong turn, here he suddenly said, oh, I live right up the street from your brother. Amen. That was an angel that God sent to guide me where I was supposed to go. See, they're all around us. Yes. They're with us. A lot of the time we don't recognize them. We don't, you know, we don't know that they're angels. That's why we should be careful how we treat people. Because, you know, when we're rude and want to be mean, you know, we could be being mean and rude to an angel. I told a story about Jesse Duplantis and this sad-looking guy that, you know, that said, help me. And he said, I'll help you, you know, just I have to go around the corner and take care of this. I'll be right back. And he meant it. And as soon as he ran around the corner, he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, you just blew it. That was an angel. He thought it was a man, you know, a homeless person, but it was an angel. And God said, you just missed it. You blew it. You blew an opportunity to minister to an angel, you know. Angels, like I said, they're God's gift to us, to help us, you know, to lead us, to keep us out of trouble. But we have to cooperate with them too. We cannot say, you know, what the word doesn't say, because angels only hearken to the voice of God's word, and they obey his commandments. But if, you know, if we ask God to help us, you know, to be discerning enough, you know, to recognize when that some person could be an angel, I think, you know, this will it'll really help us. Okay? So that's my story for tonight.